Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Counting down the days to the season opener for high school football. It's going to be a big weekend. Friday night, right here on KOAL, the Emory Spartans will take on the Richfield Wildcats. That'll be a rematch of last year's season opener and also the opening round of the 3A state championship tournament. And also on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, will bring you Carbon High School football. It'll be the first broadcast of the Dinos on KRPX. And they'll take on the Manti Templars. Looking forward to that. We are going to talk high school football, at least for the next segment, with a great friend of mine, Robert Lovell of Mid-Utah Radio. Robert covers the 3A South. We, of course, cover the 3A North right here on Drive Time Sports, so it should be an interesting conversation. We'll talk about the 3A South. Robert, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Jordan, and I appreciate the kind words there. Looking forward to a great football season coming up this year, and I'm looking forward to getting a little perspective from you on the North region as well.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a very interesting year, to say the least, and I think we can agree on one thing. Last year, the parity in the 3A North and the 3A South that we had, it was very thrilling football, Robert. If I go back over the past 6 or 7 years, it was probably the most closely, what's the word I'm looking for here? It was the most competitive that we've had the 3A classification in quite some time.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you on that point. There were three teams in the South region in the semifinals, so three out of the four, but you're talking about a one-point win of Juan Diego had over Grantsville in the quarterfinals just to get to the semis, and they, of course, ended up winning it all after 2 1-point wins in the quarters and semis, and so a team that wins it all barely scraped by earlier in the state tournament. And I agree. I thought it was a lot of parity in the classification last year. And, you know, you look at a team like Manti, who was the 5 seed last year out of the South, going up and upsetting the Judge Memorial out of the North. And then you had Richfield, who finished higher in the South than Manti did, but they drew Morgan and couldn't quite get past Morgan, who ended up going to the state championship. So, yeah, it was definitely a fun classification last year, and I personally think it's going to be pretty similar this year.
And I have to say I was wrong, and I've said this multiple times on the show. I was wrong about the 6 classifications. I wasn't high on it when the announcement was first made, 2 years ago, but I'll tell you, it's worked out, I think, perfectly across all classifications. I know you and I were going back and forth during the baseball state tournament. It was the same thing. I mean, the 3A classification was so competitive coming down to Grantsville and Carbon. I think it's been great for rural areas across the board.
I do. I think the 3A classification, it has been a really great benefit, too. I think it's made it, in all sports, great competition. There's, you know, there's not a big disparity. And so I think in 3A it's worked out really well. The 2A classification, to me, the quality of play is just down. It was this last year. Now, in football, it's different. We've been in 6 classifications for several years now, so taking football out of it, it's a little different. But in other sports, I feel like the 2A classification is down. But I think for 3A specifically, it's really been a great thing.
Yeah, no question about it. Robert, let's dive in and talk about the South here for a moment. I want to start with JUAB this year. This is always such an interesting team because Mike Bowering, one of the top coaches in the 3A classification, I don't think anybody can argue that, going into year 15, got a fantastic record. I believe it's something like 110-50, somewhere around there. I mean, he's been fantastic as head coach of JUAB. When you look at what this team has been able to accomplish over the last 7 years, it's been phenomenal. However, they haven't won a state championship. And this year, only 3 returning starters on the offensive side of the football, 3 returning starters on the defensive side of the football. What do you think of JUAB going into 2018?
You know, we had our media day for the 3A South region this last week, and talking to Coach Bowering and the other coaches, they were still picked to finish second, tied for second in the preseason rankings by the coaches' poll and the poll that we use from the coaches. And so, obviously, there's people that look at that and say, you know what, I know they've only got a few returning starters, but it's still a team that has shown over those last 7 years, as you referenced, that they are a very good football team, and Coach Bowering is going to have them prepared. You know, there's a few things that I like to look at, of course. One is the quarterback coming back. That always helps. And Easton Wright, who was the quarterback last year, is coming back year two as a starter for him. And so I think you got some great leadership in there from him. And I think he was a starter on the basketball team. And that basketball team had a great state tournament run to get to the state tournament and then nearly had 2 big upsets in the state tournament. And so I think for me, when I look at guys like Easton Wright, he learned a lot over the course of the last year. I think he's going to provide great leadership for the JUAB loss this year. in that quarterback position. And so even though they don't bring back a lot, I like who they bring back in guys like Easton Wright. They're still going to be big on the line, which they've had great success with in recent years. And I think Cade Bowring is Coach Bowring's son. He's going to be an excellent player at runner in the backfield this year. I think his older brother Peyton was a phenomenal running back. I think Cade's going to be even better over the course of these next 2 years. So I do like who they have coming back. I think Juab's still going to be a team to reckon with in what I do think is a fairly wide open 3A this year.
Let's talk about Juan Diego, defending state champions. Here's a team, you mentioned it. I mean, they scraped by in the early going of the state championship tournament. They go 11-2. I mean, we're talking about a team that was 4-1 in the region, so it's not as if they were the most dominating team throughout the entire year in the 3A classification. But they do have six returning starters, and John Klosmo, who's been there close to 20 years now. I mean, this is really one of those teams that you always have to pay attention to. We don't get a lot of experience against Juan Diego. Carbon, of course, fell to them in the opening round of the state tournament last season. But all in all, Juan Diego, on paper, looks to be very good, outside of the fact that they had to say goodbye to Zach Hoffman, who was just one of those do-it-all type players for this team.
Yeah, he was an excellent quarterback, and I know talking to Coach Colosimo last year in our media day with them, he said that Zach Hoffman could be a Division I receiver, but he's taken the sacrifice to play quarterback for us. And he was just a phenomenal athlete. And they've got some key players back. They definitely lost a lot, but Juan Diego loses a lot every year. And I think that's been the key to Coach Colosimo's program, is that they play seniors primarily, and they just plug and play. When someone graduates, when someone goes down, they bring in the next guy, and they're ready to go. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, especially in rural Utah, the recruiting aspect and those sorts of things. But I think Juan Diego, do they recruit? I believe they do, but I think they recruit freshmen. I don't think they recruit juniors and seniors like we see other programs do, but because talking to the group of seniors, those captains that we had at Media Day this year, they talked about the fact that they've been playing together since fifth grade in the Juan Diego program. And so this is a group of guys that have been together a long time. They've learned how to win under Coach Colosimo and with these previous programs. To me, just because of that, you still kind of have to pencil them in as the favorite going into the season, even though they might not have as dominant of a team as they've had in other years.
Okay, well, let's talk about another squad. You bring up the whole recruiting aspect, and I agree with you 100% with Juan Diego, but let's talk about Summit Academy here. They go 9-2 last season, tied for first in the South with a 4-1 record, lost to Juan Diego by 1 point in the semifinals. Les Hamilton's in his third year as head coach. We talk about returners. Offensively, it's going to be pretty much similar for this team. I believe they have five or six returning starters. Defensively, though, it's going to be a little bit of a different look for Summit Academy. Can they match the power of Juan Diego this year?
So when I've talked to coaches in the South region from last year, they talked about the fact that that Summit Academy's JV team last year was better than most varsity teams they faced. And, you know, you can speculate into that all you want. Many of them speculate the fact that, well, that's because they've got all these transfers that have to sit out a year of varsity football, so they're just playing JV. And so those guys are all here this year. The quarterback this year, we thought we knew he was going to be the quarterback. He was the quarterback for the JV team last year. Well, he got beat out by a move-in. Kyler Briggs is going to be taking that role at quarterback. Coach Les Hamilton, very, very high on him, likes what he sees out of him, and he's looking forward to it. They got Talmadge Brown in the backfield, as you talk about their offense. His goal was a 1,500-yard season rushing this year for Summit Academy. Defensively, though, that is going to be a crucial thing for Summit Academy, and I do agree with you on that point. And that'll be interesting to watch and see. But talking to the other coaches in the region just about what they saw out of their JV team last year, I think they're going to be very strong, if not stronger. In fact, you know, I said that you have to put Juan Diego as the favorite just because they're Juan Diego. They've been there. This is what they do. Summit Academy, to me, is that top contender to knock them off. I think Summit Academy, a very good team this year. I like what Coach Hamilton I think he's a good coach, and I think he's got a good team this year to possibly try to get the win.
Again, we're being joined right now by Robert Lovell of Mid-Utah Radio as we break down the 3A South here on Drive Time Sports. Robert, let's move over and talk about the Richfield Wildcats, because I mentioned Zach Hoffman. So if I'm talking about elite athletes, am I crazy to believe that Emmett Hafen may be the best athlete in the 3A classification this year?
I think you're right on. In fact, I've been saying it for the last 6 months that Emmett Hafen, to me, is the best athlete in 3A. Doesn't matter what sport it is. I thought he was the best baseball player in the 3A classification last year. And he's, to me, a phenomenal athlete. Unfortunately, Richfield couldn't attend our media day this year because of the late coaching change they had. But multiple coaches brought up the fact that you have to be ready for what Emmett Hafen brings, both with his arm and with his feet.
I think we saw this last year for Emory in the opening round of the state tournament. I mean, they had outplayed Richfield field pretty much in multiple aspects of that ball game. And I know it came down to the wire. It was one of those games where, it, you know, going into the fourth quarter, you really didn't know what direction the outcome was going to go. But for me, the difference on that field in that particular game was Emmett Hafen. It was almost like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. Emory had no answer for Hafen. And that was the case multiple times last year, I know, for squads going up against Richfield. Happened twice to Emory.
Yeah, it very much did, and you're exactly right. Emmett Hafen is one of those guys that, yeah, he can sit back in the pocket, but he's probably more comfortable getting out and scrambling. And when I talked to the previous head coach for Richfield, Eric Thorson, who I thought was doing an excellent job getting the Wildcats football program up and going strong, and he would talk about the fact that in practice, Emmett would be running a play, and as he's dropping back or as he's rolling out to look for a receiver, he's constantly pointing to where other people need to be, and then he delivers a perfect pass. And so this is a kid that has great vision. He knows not just where he needs to be, but he knows where his line needs to be. He knows where the running backs need to be. He knows where the receivers need to be. He's one of those guys that knows every position on the field, or at least from his perspective, knows where they need to be on each and every play.
Robert, we got a couple of other teams we have to talk about. The Manti Templars, Coach Cole Meekum entering his close to 20 years as well, if I'm not mistaken, as head coach at Manti. I mean, obviously, this is a team that's kind of been the pillar of consistency over the last little while. Carbon will open up the season this year against Manti. Six returners on offense. They have five returners on defense. I had an opportunity to watch Carbon practice last night. They were preparing for Manti and what we may see at quarterback with Kyle King. Tell me about the Manti Templars.
I'm gonna come to Manti in just a second. I do want to say real quick on Richfield, I do think they're a dark horse this year. They have a late coaching change, so it might take a little bit to get their new offense in under new coach Jason Hitchens, who coached at schools like Modern Day and Corona Del Mar in Southern California. But I do think they could be a dark horse in the 3A classification. They didn't lose much last year, finishing fourth in the region last year. And then again, but they might be a slow start with the late coaching change. All right, I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that about them. But as far as Manti is concerned, you're right. Coach Cole Meekum, you know you're going to get a team that is prepared to play week in and week out. They are going to be there. They're going to be ready to go when it comes time for the game Friday night. But they are a little down this year. You know, they were a little bit down last year, but I think they're down a little bit more this year. They did come on strong at the end of the season, getting that big win over Judge Memorial in Salt Lake in the playoffs last year. And I know they're hopeful and confident that can carry over into this year. But I also believe that other sports help things carry over into other, you know, success in one sport carries over to the next. You saw a state championship run in basketball. You saw them have probably the best run in the 3A state tournament for baseball this year, a team that came out of nowhere, losing record, finishing third in the state tournament for baseball. And I think a lot of those kids, I know a lot of those kids that have been those other two sports are back and ready to go this year. And I think that could help propel them this season, even though they're down on numbers. I like Travis Thompson. He had a great basketball season. He's one of the guys they're really going to lean on this year. As you mentioned, Kyle King at quarterback, they felt like getting him back halfway through the season last year, the end of the year, was a big part of the reason why they were able to get better as the late season came in. Dallin Rasmussen had a great baseball season. He's one of those guys you're going to count on. But I love Cade Braithwaite. Every answer he had at our media day this last week was phenomenal. He is just ready to get out there and go. I like him on the interior line, both offensively and defensively. I think he's going to be a force for any offensive line to handle when he's playing defensive tackle there. So I like what Manti has. They're just not real deep this year, but I think they're going to be another team that could make some noise in 3A.
Well, and let's be honest, anytime we talk about Manti, it doesn't matter what sport. Nobody wants to play Manti, Robert, ever.
Right. You're right. That is true.
We got one more team to talk about. We can mention North Sam Pete. Did not win a game last season. Sixth in the 3A South. 0-5 in region play. Lost to Union 42-20 in the opening round of the 3A state tournament. Rhett Bird going into his third year as head coach. Offensively, they struggled a lot last year, Robert. They averaged just over 11 points per contest, but they do have some key returners on both sides of the ball. I believe they have the most, if I'm not mistaken, out of any team in the 3A South, right? Returning on each side.
Yes, they do. And, you know, when you look back at last year, they were really hoping to have Sean Taylor last year, who in my mind was the best athlete at North Sam Pete last season, last year, school year, had a great basketball and baseball season. But he had some freak injuries a couple years earlier that were non-football related, that were not even sport related. He had some accident injuries and decided that it would be best for him not to play football, just to not risk any of those things that recurring. And so he didn't play, and that hurt them last year. I think they were really banking on him. And then they had some injuries during the season that hurt them, now that were key injuries. Now, when I asked Coach Bird about that this last week, his response was, yeah, we had some injuries, but we're not going to make excuses. We need to be better. Our execution needs to be better. And they've got Chance Clawson back at quarterback this year. They're really excited about him. I feel like his preparation coming into the season is very good. The way we had our coaches vote for the 3A South this year in our rankings before our media day, there ended up being a three-way tie for fourth between North San Pete, Manti, and Richfield. And so, obviously, nobody's looking at North San Pete this year in the South region saying, you're going to be a pushover, we're going to walk over them. They're banking on them being very good. They have shuffled some coaching duties around. Of course, Rhett Bird, his uncle is Dave Peck, the former Bingham High coach, had great success at Bingham, and they've kind of changed things up a little bit. They're going to have Dave move to the offensive side of the ball, and Rhett said that everybody views Dave as that defensive guru, because that's what he did at Bingham, but he was an offensive coordinator at Cypress for 6 years before that. And so he's got some great offensive background as well. And so he's going to kind of take over some of those offensive duties, the play-calling duties. And so we'll see how that makes a change as well for North San Pete. They've got good size. North San Pete always has good size. We'll see if they can utilize that this year with this team.
Robert Lovell again of Mid-Utah Radio. Robert, I want to talk to you about a couple of more things, but I do have to get out for a quick commercial break. Do you have time to hang around with us for one more segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. We have plenty more coming up with Robert Lovell. When we return, I want to talk about Friday's matchups, because we have three teams from the north taking on three teams from the south. We get Carbon and Manti, Emory and Richfield, and Union and Summit Academy, and we'll talk about that when we return.